Praise God, praise God. I'm Pastor Mark Choate, and I hope that you enjoy our podcast today. Revival Today is our podcast. Continue to listen and share it out with your friends and family. Let them know that there's a powerful word of God that's being preached on Revival Today.
Going to also be faithful in much. And when we are unjust with just a few things, you're going to be unjust with much. And when God began to place this in my spirit, he brought some things to light. But I want you to ponder this in your spirit right now as we go forward in the word. He that is unfaithful in a little is unfaithful in much. Some of us today, even our commitment with God, is iffy. It's not consistent enough to get you through. And that's why God has given a word this morning that said that he is unfaithful in a little things, is unfaithful in a lot. And God is saying he's trying to prepare us to get us in a position to be an overcomer. And in order to be in position to be an overcomer, you have to be faithful in your devotion with God, because God is trying to line you up so that you can overcome the attack of the enemy. So with this word, when he said, when we're unfaithful with least, then we're also unfaithful with much. The next scripture says in Samuel 12:24, it says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. It doesn't say serve him once in a while. This is the American Standard. It says only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. It doesn't say a little bit, but with all your heart and faithfully. It says serve the Lord in this way. What God is trying to do right now, we're going to talk about the word faithful in the things of God. Reason why we need to be faithful in the same things of God, because God knows what you're about to go through. He knows the things that you're going to be dealing with in your day-to-day life, and you need to be devoted to him in a way that's going to line you up to be victorious. How many of us want to be in a relationship where they show up once in a while? But how about being in a relationship when they're there when you need them? And when they're there on time? Scripture says in Psalms 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, so that I may be what? Renew a right spirit in me. So when I think about the things of God, I'm asking God, how can I be faithful in the few things? That's what God is asking us right now. You need to ask God this one thing. How can I be faithful in a few things? Not in a whole bunch. What we do is we come to God and we say, Lord, I want to do something, but I want to do something big. But God is saying, just line up yourself with being faithful in a few things and get it right. Get settled in your spirit so that you can be a conqueror, and so that you can walk in faithfulness. So the scripture says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Not serve him once in a while. It says, only fear God. We're not fearing God. We're not feeling the things of God. So it says, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you. Now, when I say that, consider the things that he has done for you. I'm going to go into a little story here. And I'm going to talk to you about how God had blessed the people of God. And how, because they were faithful, God has caused them to be overcomers. Amen. But first, I want you to see this here. It says the concept of the first fruit in the Hebrew scriptures is, the meaning is that just as the first fruit offering was the first portion of the larger harvest, First fruit people are the first fruit of the larger harvest. That's what the scriptures talks about as a first fruit, is the fruit of your larger harvest. Today, we have a hard time paying tithes and sowing into the things of God, but God said to take your first fruit of your larger harvest. And I'm going here with the word today because I want to talk about that, because God is saying that we're not faithful. He said that he's trying to line us up so that we may be blessed. So it says here, so the first fruit symbolizes God's harvest of souls. Somebody says symbolizes God's harvest of souls. That's what it, and it illustrates giving to God from a grateful heart. Church, we don't need you showing up for me. We don't need you going to prayer for me. What it's for you. Now, when we think about it, it illustrates in the word where it says that it's the greater fruit, the first that you have. When we look at our day and we look at our schedule throughout the day, we give God the end of the day, tired and ready to go to bed. That's when sometimes we get on our knees and pray. But how about your first fruit of the day? How about ask God to be with you before you go out into battle? How about giving him your first portion of what God has blessed you with? And why is this important? It's not important just for what God is trying to do, even in this house, but it's important because he wants to get us in a position to be winners. And we can't position ourselves to be winners if we constantly go against the word of God. Amen? I'm going to turn to Timothy 1 through 10. It's going to be 2 Timothy 1 through 10. And it's a New King James Version, so you know. It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, it says, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, the book of Timothy here was Paul writing to Timothy, and he was telling Timothy to be faithful. And he said to Timothy in this second chapter, he said, commit yourself to the things that you've been taught. He says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. It wasn't saying be strong in other things, but in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And it says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be willing and able to teach others also. Now, what is that saying? He was saying that the word that you've been given, that I have already given to you, Timothy, I want you to be strong and be committed, courageous. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to have to teach what you have learned to others. Amen? And then the next part it says here, it says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier in Christ Jesus. It says here, no one endures hardship as a good soldier. It says you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one engages in warfare and tangles himself with the affairs of this life. Somebody say this. Nobody that engages in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. See, this is what Timothy was told by Paul. He was being told that, guess what? You can't go forward into warfare being worried about the few things you're going through in this life. He said in the scripture that he has to be ready to proclaim the gospel, even to the point where it possibly can bring hardship. And I want to talk about that. We want to go forward in the things of God without being faithful. And then what we do is we do this. We say, Lord, it's hard, so I'm not going to be faithful. It's hard, so I'm not going to do what you called me to do. And God is saying that he's tired of it. He is saying that we got to get in our spirit where we got to go before God and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit in me. What does that mean? It says you have to ask God for a clean heart, and you got to, he's not going to do it. And then you got to ask God to renew your spirit. You see what I'm saying? We have to ask him to do it. You and I have to ask God, Lord, create in me a clean heart, first of all. Get rid of my mess. And then I need you to change my spirit. But we don't want to do that. We go before God and say, Lord, I need change in my life. Lord, I want you to strengthen me and make me a stronger Christian. And he's saying, you're not faithful. You don't even have a clean heart because what you're thinking is not right. And then he says, I want you, first of all, to renew yourself. How many of us want to be more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus? Come on, somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know there's not a whole bunch of people here this morning, but God is still able. It says here in 5, it says, and also if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. And I like that. According to the rules. I'm going to go over a brief story here about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right here, it says you want to be in the kingdom of God, you want to do the things of God, but you want to do it with no rules. We want to do the things of God and have no rules. We sat the choir down and said, listen, this is what we're going to start doing. And guess what? The faithful said, okay. And the others said, I don't know if I can do that. But God is saying, be faithful in the few things. The few things is not to set you up to fail. It's to set you up to succeed. So when we say that God is trying to make us faithful in a few things, it's not that he's trying to overwhelm you, but he's saying, I don't even want a lot. But I want what you give me to be your best. Somebody said to be my best. You got to take personal ownership. Faithfulness in the things of God will cause you to be a winner. It will cause you to be an overcomer. So it says, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Amen? So you can't make up your own rules. And it says, the hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crop. Somebody said, first to partake of the crop. That means that we that are called need to be the first partakers. It's too many people want to do things in the church and in the body of God, but they don't want to be committed to just a little. And then we go before God all the time, crying out to God, Lord, where's my deliverance? Where's my healing? Where's my victory? And God is saying it's where you left it. Because we are not faithful in the few things. Now, in the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm going to touch on that. It says here, about 600 years before Christ was born, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took over Jerusalem and took many captive. And it says here, when he took over Jerusalem, it says he took the finest citizens. He didn't take people that weren't doing anything. He took people that were the finest citizens. When he overthrew Jerusalem, he didn't take those that weren't doing nothing. He took the best. You see, this is how you do it. You don't go look for, God ain't looking for mess. So when God called you to his kingdom, he didn't call you because you didn't have potential. That's where we mess up. We don't realize that God sees something special in you. And he's calling his best forward. But what he said, you can't move forward unless you understand that I'm with you. And that I'm improving you for greater. Amen? So in this, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar took the best. And among those from the Babylonian were four young men from the tribe of Judah. And the four men was Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the reason why I want to tell a little bit of the story is because of this. In the story, a lot of us read this Bible story. But in the story, Daniel, we know that Daniel ended up going into what? The lion's den. And we also know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into the fiery furnace. But do you know that they were God's best? Do you know that before they went into this situation, God had caused them to be blessed among the king? And when I talk about being blessed, Daniel was the only one that was able to interpret the king's dream. He was the one. So when the king Nebuchadnezzar, he began to dream and he had bad dreams and no one could interpret the dream, but only Daniel could. And because of Daniel's faithfulness with God, Daniel was rewarded a special position. See, his faithfulness to God. What was Daniel's faithfulness to God? He would pray before God daily. And before he would speak, he would ask God. And in this scenario, when Daniel was seeking the Lord and asking God to give him understanding and revelation, not only did God reward him, but guess what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was appointed because of Daniel's good works. See, so when we hear the story, we separate them, but they were tied together because they both, all of them, worked together. And the amazing thing about this story is this, is that their faithfulness before God got them in trouble. Today's environment, we want to be in the things of God, but we don't want to be faithful. But the faithfulness that they had before God was what got them in trouble. But after they got in trouble, don't you know their faithfulness with God got them through it? And what happened was, as they began to go forward and do these great works with, was interpreting the dreams of the king. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the wise counsels. What the enemy did was he set them up to fail. Some of us are in situations now where the enemy is trying to set us up to fail. In 8, and it's still in 2 Timothy 10. It says in 8th verse, it says, remember Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to the gospel. Okay, and it says, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. Somebody said, the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. What that means is he was saying, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. That's for those that are going to receive salvation. He endured all things. He said, even though he might face chains, meaning someone was going to come at him falsely and accuse him, he was willing to go through it for the kingdom. He was willing to trust in God's word. and believe that he would bring them through it. Amen? Amen. I'm almost done. So it says, but, and I'm actually in the 8th verse, in the 7th, 2 Timothy, and 2nd chapter, okay, and 1 through 10. So those that are lost. Then the next part I'm going to go into, why should we be faithful over a few things? I think of the woman with the issue of blood. It says that she had to press through and touch the garment of Christ. And when I think of the blind man at the pool of Siloam, it says that his sight was restored after Jesus put mud on his eyes. It did not just happen, but they had to be faithful and trust in God's word. I'm going to ask you to go down to 1 John 1 and 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Then I want you to turn to Ephesians 2:8, and I'm trying to give us a little teaching here this morning. I'm not going to hold you long. It says, for the grace you have been saved. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It says, through faith you've been saved. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift from God. So it's not our own doing, but it's a gift from God. Amen? It says in the last one, it says Hebrews 10:23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering. That means we got to already be committed without wavering. That means we need to have our mind made up that we're going to do the things of God and not waver in it. Then Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. That's the next part. It says, God has promised it, and he is faithful. And then the last scripture for today is Proverbs 3:3. It says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. I want you to say that with me. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablets of your heart.
Well, praise God. We pray that you enjoyed that last episode of Revival Today. Please come visit us at New England Pentecostal House of Praise. We're located at 1850 Elm Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Sunday service time is 10 a.m. Come be part of the movement of God. Tell of his goodness wherever.